Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody today. Why do you think God designed our physical bodies to feel pain? Nobody likes pain, so why do you think God designed our physical bodies to feel pain? There's a pretty obvious answer. Physical pain is an indication that something is wrong. You feel pain, and so you know that there's a problem that needs to be fixed. Could you imagine your life if you didn't feel pain? What would it be like if you didn't feel pain? Well, you might enjoy that for a while, but eventually you would die before you knew anything was wrong. And that's why physical pain is so important, actually. That's why God designed us to experience physical pain. Physical pain tells us something's wrong and there's a problem that needs to be fixed. Imagine what happens when you ignore physical pain. Everybody's done this at least a few times. What happens when you ignore pain? The problem usually doesn't get better. Usually, the problem gets worse. And many times, when you ignore the pain and ignore the underlying issue, that original problem compounds and creates other problems. And as this goes on, eventually you could get to a point where you just don't even feel the pain anymore. There's all these problems, and really you just aren't even aware of them. You don't even feel the pain. What I want to talk about this morning is not physical pain, but a spiritual subject that is very closely connected to that. And that's the topic of guilt. So what is guilt? Guilt is actually both a state of being and a state of feeling. And sometimes those things come together, and sometimes they don't. Have you ever known someone who was clearly guilty of some crime or some sin, but felt no guilt? Mike, in your work, did you ever run into somebody who was guilty of a crime, but didn't feel guilty at all? I'm sure that happens on a very regular basis. So it is possible to be guilty, but not feel guilty at all. And the reverse is also true. It is possible to feel guilty, but in reality not actually be guilty. And this is a complicated situation, but this can happen. You think about the issue in the New Testament during the infancy of the church related to meats offered to idols. Let me read this passage for you. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Thinking about guilt. For there is one God. This is 1 Corinthians 8 verses 6 and 7. For there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. In this context, the person feels guilty. And it actually makes them guilty because they feel guilty. But if their conscience had been clean, they wouldn't have actually been doing anything wrong. So it is sort of a complicated situation. The point is, it is possible to be guilty but not feel guilty. And it's possible to feel guilty but not actually be guilty. What I want to talk about this morning is not the state of being, but the state of feeling. Feeling guilty. God designed the human mind so that we would feel guilt. And what does guilt feel like? Well, it's kind of like physical pain. Nobody likes physical pain, and nobody likes guilt. Because nobody likes all the feelings that come with feeling guilty. If you feel guilty, you probably feel sorry. You feel some level of regret. And usually feeling guilty is associated with feeling embarrassed. And those are all the reasons that nobody likes to feel guilty. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 is an example, a long example where the Apostle Paul is describing what it feels like to feel guilty. You remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul deals with all of those issues that the Corinthian church was dealing with. There were divisions, there was sin in the church, they were being rude and disrespectful during their assembly. They've got all these issues, and he addresses that in 1 Corinthians. And how do you think that made them feel? Well, he tells us about how it made them feel over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. He made them feel guilty. And in this passage, he tells us what that felt like. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 Corinthians 7, verses 8, 9, and 10. Paul says, "For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it." In other words, he's saying, "I'm not sorry I made you feel that way, but I'm glad I made you feel that way. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry or guilty, but that your sorrow," he's talking about the feeling of guilt here, "but that your sorrow or guilt led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow," he's talking about this feeling of guilt, "for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death." So that's what guilt feels like. Sorrow, embarrassment, shame. Well, where does that feeling come from in the first place? Guilt is the product of a healthy conscience. And of course, just like physical pain, this is by God's design. God designed pain to protect us, and God designs guilt to protect us. It's our conscience that creates the feeling of guilt. It's the conscience, if it's healthy, that makes us feel guilty. Now that seems a little counterintuitive, that if you have a healthy conscience, it makes you feel guilty. Well, of course, it only does that when you should feel guilty. But this is the thing. If your conscience is healthy, if it's working the way that it's supposed to work, sometimes you will feel guilty. You'll feel guilty when you sin. You won't just be guilty, you will feel guilty. And like I said, this is by God's design. For example, over in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. "For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, although not having the law, they are a law to themselves. For they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience." This is what we're talking about. Guilt being the product of a healthy conscience. "Their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them." They knew in their thoughts, in their conscience, if they were guilty or not guilty. And so it was not just a state of being, it was also a state of feeling. The Gentiles, what Paul is saying, the Gentiles didn't have the written law of God like the Jews did, and yet they still had a law. And that law was planted in their conscience by God. And when that conscience was healthy, it would help them to see the difference between right and wrong. It would help them to see if they were guilty, and it would help them to feel when they were guilty. So why did God design our minds to feel guilt when we sin? And this, I want to take you back to the analogy regarding pain. We feel guilt for the same reasons that we feel pain. Physical pain is an indication that something is wrong. Guilt is supposed to be an indication that something is wrong. We feel pain, so we know that there's a problem to fix. We feel guilt. God designed us so that we would feel guilt, so we know that we have a problem to fix. What if we didn't feel pain? We would die before we ever knew something was wrong. What if you didn't feel guilt? You would spiritually die before you ever knew anything was wrong. Nobody likes pain, and yet pain is very important. Nobody likes guilt, and yet guilt is very important. We would rather not experience pain, and yet it's important sometimes that we do. We'd rather not experience guilt, but it is so important when we do. So the next question is, how do we respond to guilt? And I'm not saying how should we respond, I'm saying how do we respond? And here's a truth that I think we're all going to agree on. Nobody is going to keep themselves in a state where they are feeling guilty. I think most people would say they hate feeling guilty. I do. I hate feeling guilty. And no matter how I solve that problem, I'm going to do something about it so that I don't feel guilty anymore. You're never going to stay in a state where you continue to feel guilty. You will do something. And of course, there's a right way and a wrong way to respond to guilt. The right way is to swallow that guilt to accept it and to fix the situation, exactly like physical pain. When something is hurting you, the right thing to do is to acknowledge that something is wrong and to do something about it. In reality, though, there's other ways that we might handle guilt. And this is where guilt can become very damaging and dangerous. Another way of responding to guilt, rather than facing it and fixing it, another way to respond to it that I know that we all do sometimes is we simply convince ourselves that we're not guilty. We don't like feeling guilty. And so one thing we might do is convince ourselves that we're actually not guilty. And I know this kind of thing happens. Every once in a while I'll have students who do something wrong and we have to discipline them in some way. And students respond in different ways. Some students will accept it. And they'll say, you know what, I did do something wrong and I'm going to make it better. Other students don't respond that way. Some students, when you tell them they did something wrong, they will, in tears, tell you they didn't actually do anything wrong, when obviously they did. Now you would think, well, that's just unreasonable. Well, this is the nature of us as human beings. We don't like to feel guilty. Sometimes we'd rather not fix the problem. So the only other alternative is just to convince ourselves that we're not actually guilty of anything. And people do this all the time. Just recently, I had to discipline a student because they submitted some work that was unacceptable. And they were in complete denial that they had done anything wrong. This kind of thing happens all the time. And this affects all of us, sometimes in small things and sometimes in the biggest things. So I have a confession to make. I was driving through Summersville, of all places. This had to happen in Summersville. I was going 43 in a 30. And I got pulled over by maybe the Summersville police officer. And I got a ticket for the first time ever. I'm 33 years old and I've never got a speeding ticket. But you know what? This was not my first time speeding. And I was thinking about that as he's writing the ticket. He was trying to give me an out, too. He said, I guess you're not from around here, are you? And I was thinking, what do I say to that? I own a house over here now, so I can't really say that. Anyway, so he wrote me a ticket. And when he came back to the car, I said, you know what? I want you to know that a streak ended today. And, you know, he said, well, what are you talking about? He was still in tough guy mode. And he said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I'm 33 years old, and this is my first ticket. And he just dropped his head, and he goes, then his mood changed completely. And he said, well, why didn't you tell me that? I tried to give you an out. Well, as it turned out, when I went to go sign the check to pay the ticket, he was the one that took the ticket, and he apologized again. I said, no, it's fine. This is going to be great material for sermons. And it is. And it is good material. Of course, once again, he told me, you know, that's the kind of thing you should have told me before I wrote this ticket. And actually, what I thought was, you didn't have to. You made the decision to write the ticket, not me. I've been speeding my whole life, and I didn't really feel bad about it. I really didn't feel bad about it, and now I can't stop thinking about it. So I do feel guilty now when I speed, but I've lived a long time not feeling guilty about violating the speed limit. Here's the point I'm trying to make. We get used to sinning, and there's probably a time when I would have felt really guilty about speeding, and I got to a point where I didn't care so much anymore. Now I care again. The issue is, most of the time, speeding's pretty inconsequential. The reality, the bigger issue is, though, what about when we convince ourselves that we're not sinning in the bigger things? And we don't face the guilt in the bigger things. What about then? Even in the biggest things, as humans, we have this unfortunate ability to convince ourselves that we're not doing anything wrong. And that is the worst possible way to handle our guilt, to convince ourselves that we're not actually guilty. So what happens when we ignore guilt like this? What happens when we convince ourselves that we're not actually guilty of anything? It's just like physical pain. If you ignore physical pain, the problem doesn't get better. The problem usually gets worse. When we ignore guilt, the problem gets worse. We don't stop sinning, and whatever damage is being done by our sins continues to be done, including the condemnation of our souls. The problem doesn't get better, it gets worse. The worst possible thing we can do is ignore the guilt. Just like ignoring physical pain has this ability to create other problems, ignoring guilt often is going to compound the problem and create other issues. Unsolved guilt creates enormous spiritual problems, and sometimes even physical problems. You may know that guilt is one of the leading causes of mental illness. Not that everyone who has guilt has mental illness, and it's also not true that everyone who has mental illness has guilt. I'm just saying that those things are commonly connected to each other. That unresolved guilt has an enormous potential to do damage to our minds, our conscience, and even to our physical body. Ignoring guilt has this ability to create other problems. And physical pain is the same way. Let me tell you a story. I have a very vivid memory of doing a CT scan on a middle-aged lady in the ER department at Cox South. And she'd had some kind of neurological issue. I can't remember if she passed out or she had a seizure or whatever, but we did a CT scan of her head, right? She had done something that had led to a CT scan of her head. So we scanned her head, and it was full of tiny little brain tumors. Well, we call that metastatic cancer, and what that means is it didn't start in her brain. It came from somewhere else. So the next thing you do when you identify someone who has metastatic brain cancer is you look to see where it came from. So the next day, I happened to scan this lady again, and we scanned her entire body, her neck, her chest, her abdomen, and her pelvis, and her entire body was filled with cancer. She had metastatic cancer in her liver, she had metastatic cancer in her colon, and she had one big tumor in her right breast. She knew it was there. I know that she knew it was there, but she'd ignored it. For months, maybe years, she ignored the signs. She could have prevented maybe all of this, but she ignored it. This is what happens when we ignore physical pain or physical signs that tell us that something is wrong. And this is the exact same kind of thing that can happen if we ignore guilt. God designed our conscience to tell us when something is wrong, and we cannot ignore that. Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, disqualified for every good work. When we allow our conscience to be damaged, it creates these compounding issues. And that's just a place that we don't want to be. We don't want to have a damaged conscience that is unable to feel guilt. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he talked about how the Gentiles, how many of them had gone to a place emotionally, intellectually, where they no longer had a conscience and were incapable of feeling guilt. And so I'm going to read this passage to you. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. Paul said, "This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Verse 19, "Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." The Gentiles had made a conscious decision to no longer be conscious of sin. See what I mean? They'd made a conscious decision to no longer be conscious of sin. And this is what happens when we routinely ignore guilt. This is a place that we want to avoid. So what do we do? All these things considered, what do we do? Step number one is never ignore guilt. Remember I said that it is possible to be guilty but not feel guilty, and it is also possible to feel guilty but not actually be guilty. Anytime we feel guilty, we need to sort that out. The quick way is just to tell ourselves that we're not actually guilty. That's usually not true. Usually that's not true. So never ignore guilt. Always try to find the underlying problem. And then the second thing is, Remember that ultimately the solution to our guilt, even the feeling of guilt, is Jesus. Jesus is the cure to guilt. There's a lot of people who in their lives have committed sin, and I think all of us experience this on varying levels, sometimes smaller levels, sometimes bigger levels, but all of us on some level deal with sins in our past that we can't let go of. We know we're not guilty, and yet we continue to feel guilty. Well, Jesus is the solution to all of that. As Jesus grows inside of you, your state of guilt, of being guilty, and the state of feeling guilty diminishes and diminishes and diminishes. Jesus is the solution to that. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and in the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's what Jesus can do for you. When you let him in, when you let him grow inside of you, as you let his influence over your life grow, and yet you let your influence over your life diminish. Let Jesus have your life, and that guilt can go away. If you don't have Christ yet, though, you don't have the ability to experience that. And so before any of this, we have to get to a place where we have access to the blood of Christ. And that is in baptism. Submitting ourselves to the will of God, appealing to God for a clean conscience in baptism, to wipe away all of the guilt that does exist, to clean our minds of these feelings of guilt. All of this starts when we choose to be saved at baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer or appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is one of the things that as a Christian gets to enjoy when they become a Christian. God wipes away all the guilt that you have. Any guilt that you feel, you can let go of. We choose to hold on to it sometimes, but God says you have the choice to let go of it. Because Jesus let all of that guilt, carried it with him to the cross, and it died. And so in Jesus, your guilt can die too. Hope I gave you some valuable things to think about today. Bob, you have a closing number for us?
620.
620.